For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Hallelujah. Well, we had a great time Friday night. And we probably could have had it last night. I don't know. I was kind of torn between the horror stories on the Weather Channel and all that. So, but we had a great time Friday night. We had, I think, 83. Somebody said 83, 85 around there. We had a good group here, and the Spirit of God is moving. Hallelujah. And you know He's moving here among us today too. The Lord is with us, just like He promised. Don't miss Him. All right, we got to get past the whole spectacle of what people do and look to what Jesus is doing in the midst of us, right? And what He's doing through people. But if you hear from Jesus today, even as He could use me as a vessel, then, amen, mission accomplished. If God can use you, amen, and He would, if you would make yourself available to lay hands on someone, to pray for them, to pray for the sick, amen, to cast out demons, whatever the Lord will have you to do, if you make yourself available, amen, they will encounter the Lord through you. And God wants His people activated. And Retha, that's confirmation about what I'm going to share this morning, actually. So thank you, Lord, for that. Because sometimes you need that. You need that confirmation. But I want to just share something that, you know, how many know that the gospel is not complicated? Man complicates it. It's really simple. It's so simple a child can understand it. It's really a relationship with Jesus. It's walking with Jesus. Amen. Doing life with Jesus. And perfect theology, by the way, is Jesus Himself. Amen. You can study all about Jesus and never know Jesus. Perfect theology is when you know Him, the living God. Amen. Because He is the Word. Amen, that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the living Word. So perfect theology is Jesus, who is the fulfillment, amen, of everything that was written. Hallelujah. Revival. You know, there are pockets of revival breaking out around the nation. And I know there's also a lot of opposition to some of the things that are happening or people's perspective as to what's happening. And, you know, this is nothing new. Anytime God genuinely moves by His Spirit, it will be opposed. And it will be opposed by Christians, too. Every move throughout history has been the same thing. And so we have to examine everything in light of the Word and the Spirit. Amen. What is the fruit of it? Well, let me tell you that what I'm getting from these things that are happening, because now there's at least six, maybe seven now, college universities that are experiencing is breaking out everywhere. And our young people, praise God, amen. This gives us hope for the future, that our young people get on fire for God, amen. And the center of this is not some man, amen. It's really Jesus is at the center of this. They're worshiping the Lord. And how many know that a lot of the songs that we sing are Christ-centered and they're rich in theology, you know? So you're getting even a message in the song. You know, and so, but people are focusing. If they're focusing on the Lord, they're not going to get a demon. And I wanted to share with you from Luke chapter 11, just to start out today. Verse 10, for everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, what's the answer to that? Not unless the father's demented, right? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The enemy wants to get people devil paranoid. So they shut their hearts down and don't open their hearts to the Lord. God will protect you. If your heart is to seek the living God and to know Jesus, amen, God will protect you. You're not going to get a demon if you're seeking after the Lord, amen. But some people will so poison, it's always somebody that comes around and muddies the water. But they're going to answer to God, because if it is a true, authentic move of God and they're speaking against it or even attributing it to the works of Satan, they're in trouble. So be very careful about what you say. You judge everything by the Spirit and the Word. Amen. And in any time there's a move of God, it's going to be messy because people are messy. We're all a mess. We're all a work in progress. Amen. God is working in all of us. He's purifying his bride. He's making his people holy. Amen. And so in the midst of that, there's going to be a mess. Somebody say amen. How many know that every one of us without Jesus is a mess? So God wants to purify people. He wants to set prisoners free. He wants us, his people, who have been walking with him for a while, to be patient with those who are coming up in the ranks. Amen. There's going to be stuff that happens, and people are going to slip away and sometimes ride the Holy Ghost roller coaster. Amen. They're doing good for a while, but then they're down again, and they're up again, and they're down again. Amen. Until God brings them into stability, because it's the Lord, having begun a good work in you, is able, right, to bring it to completion. And so we have to be patient in the process and know that we're all flawed. And how many know that God uses flawed vessels for his work? If you don't believe it, read the Bible. It's full of examples of humanity, people that God chose who weren't even looking for God, weren't living for God, that God says, you're perfect for the job. I'm going to clean you up and I'm going to use you. And even in that, they had fallen. They had made mistakes. Just look at Solomon. Look at David, right? Look at Saul. Even he started out well because of the anointing, right? But listen, God wants to use you. He wants to use me. Amen. With our quirks, our idiosyncrasies, our flaws. Don't wait until you are perfect to make yourself available for God to use. Come on, somebody. This is in no way giving license to lasciviousness or loose living. What I am saying is that we have to understand that God chooses us and has called us in our imperfection, knowing full well what we're made of. And he chooses his vessels, amen, because he just decides, I want this one. In Matthew 7:11, it says, how much more will your Father give good things, right? To those who ask, good things, well, also means good benefits. I don't know about you, but there are good benefits in living for Jesus. Amen. I mean, we have, first of all, his presence. We have him with us in our lives. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Lord is with us? Aren't you glad the Lord is faithful to us? Aren't you glad the Lord is committed to us? He is that solid foundation. Amen. We can always run to the Lord. Hallelujah. And find refuge. Find rest for our souls. Amen. If we're stressed out, it means we got to get close to Jesus, because in him there is rest for your soul. God doesn't want his people tormented in their minds. He doesn't want them stressed out. He doesn't want them in depression. He wants his people to be filled with his presence, with his joy and all that he is. James 4:2 says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And then he says in verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So here's the real question, guys. Why do we want God to fill us with his Holy Spirit? So we can just get goosebumps and feel good? Why do we need the Lord? Why do we want the Lord? Because first of all, the Lord is delightful. Amen. The Lord is pure pleasure. He's joy unspeakable. Amen. To know him is to know real, authentic joy. To know him is to know real love. Amen. And real peace. But we want to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. So that we can be vessels for God. So we can be about his business, amen, confirming the fact that Jesus is risen and resurrected, amen. He is the resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. How many know that God wants to confirm his word with accompanying signs? And there should be miracles in our lives. If we're walking in the Holy Spirit, God is spirit, amen. He's supernatural. So if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, there will be supernatural manifestations in your life and through your life. But what are these things for? Why do we, you know, come to God and ask Him for gifts, ask Him for the Holy Spirit, ask Him for these things so that we can be equipped to serve Him effectively in His power, amen, and bear fruit unto eternal life? The problem is that many times we're coming to God because we're making it about us. We're prideful. So it's not about what He wants, it's what I want for me. And sometimes so I can make a name for me. And the enemy knows that sometimes, you know, because we're broken people, you know, and we often are seeking validation. If we're not careful, we can get caught up in this self-validation thing. And we'll ask God for the things of God so that we can make it about us and not about Jesus. But God gives His grace to the humble. So if we ask amiss, He said, it's because you're going to what? Use it upon your own pleasures. In other words, you don't come to God because you just want God to make life pleasurable for you, but that you might receive what He has available for you to be a vessel for Him, amen, to make somebody else's life pleasurable. Come on, isn't that God pleasurable? How many are, will find the Lord's presence pleasurable?
Amen.
Well, I've tasted and I've seen that He is good. And I want more. We need more. America needs Jesus. Amen. Jesus, hallelujah. Because if all we're about is having Christian entertainment, and there are so many groups out there that are just the Christian celebrities, and they're we go to this concert and so-and-so was there. How many know that a true, authentic revival is not going to be man-centered?
Amen.
And so we as a people, if we want God's revival, amen, in us, it has to be about Jesus and not about self. Amen.
Amen.
Another confirmation. We have to deny ourselves so that the Lord can use us. And it doesn't matter what your flaws or weaknesses are. God is bigger than that. God is just looking for someone that will make themselves available for Him to use. Romans 12 and verse 1, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Amen, Ritha? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, what? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means at all times abounding in the work of the Lord. Everybody say, at all times abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So if you've been saved, then you've been saved to serve others. Somebody say amen. Not to live a self-centered life, but to now live for the one who saved you and called you. Not for what you can get out of it, but as a way of loving God back. 1 John 2:3 says, and we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. All right. Somebody then pulls out the Ten Commandments and says, okay, check, check. Check, I know God. Verse 4, if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living in Him. Hello. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So we know that we're in Him when we obey His commandments. What does that mean? It means that we're obeying the instructions of the Lord, what he has taught us. What is the greatest commandment of all? To love God, right? With all your heart, mind, soul, strength, but love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the commandments are summed up in this saying, namely, love your neighbor as yourself. So love is the fulfillment of the law. We live according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the law of God's love. Are you hearing me? And not just according to the list of commandments of do's and don'ts. There are a lot of people that live a morally upright life, okay, according to the do's and the don'ts. But if they don't have the love of God, all they're doing is making noise. That's what 1 Corinthians says, isn't it? Verse 13, chapter 13. Love for God is shown by our obedience to the Lord's teachings. Don't be deceived. We can have assurance concerning our relationship with God if our life is characterized by a loving desire to do his will. Isn't it God who works in us both to will and to do? When our hearts are alive, when our hearts are on fire for God, when we have our lamps filled with his presence, then his desires become our desires. And we esteem what he wants above what we want. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you will prioritize what you want over what God wants. But if you are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, you will desire what God wants over what you want. That's the test right there. Because the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart. And you will love God and you will love people. Because you're abiding in his love. And his love is not self-centered. It's not about us anymore, is it? It's about Jesus. It's about others. 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Well, some people will say, well, I love. I'm a good person. I love others. So therefore, I'm born of God. Well, we need to understand what the word love here is, right? This is not human love, human emotional love. This is God's kind of love that can only come from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. So verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to what? Love one another. How many know that love is more than just a saying? It is an action. No one has seen God, it says in verse 12, at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. How do we know that God abides in us? By the love that he has put in our hearts. And his love has been perfected or completed in us. And by this we know, verse 13, that we abide in him. How do we know? And he in us? Because he has given us of his Spirit. Do you see the connection between the Holy Spirit, amen, and love, and the love of God? You cannot have the love of God. You cannot possess the love of God if you are not possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, who is God, amen, in us. God sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts when we're born again, crying out, Abba, Father. Amen. And we begin to love the things he loves and hate the things he hates. But our responsibility is to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Staying filled with the Holy Spirit means to be filled with the what? Love of God. And when we love with the love of the Lord, then there is good fruit. That is the evidence that a person is truly abiding in him, is that they will love others with the love of the Lord. Not the love of humanity, a human nature love, but the love of God is the fruit or the evidence that someone is filled with the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:19 to know the love of Christ. That we might know the love of Christ, which what? Passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Fullness of God and what? Love of Christ. In the Spirit, amen, of the living God. That's where God dwells, amen. He is love. Those who say they walk in love must also walk as Jesus did, because if the Spirit of the Lord is in us, He will begin to motivate us to love, amen, with the love of God. Our hearts must be captivated by the love of God, by the Spirit of the Lord. We have to deliberately deny ourselves because there's a battle. Because there's one part of us that wants to be selfish and do its own thing. So the solution to that is not trying harder, but staying filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers you to live a life of love and a life of self-denial. But if we don't take advantage of the opportunity God gives us to come into His throne, amen, and to receive what He has for us, then our tank will run out. It will run dry. Amen. And that other nature, that other part of you will become stronger and stronger. You know, that part that we hate. So God wants us to stay topped off, to be filled with His Spirit. And when we're filled with His Spirit, we'll be filled with the love of God. And then we will be able to love others with the love of the Lord. It's the love of Jesus that makes a difference in people's lives. Let me give an example. Sometimes people have emotional meltdowns, as we've all had our pity parties, right? But sometimes we're not helping that person by just coddling them in the pity party. Sometimes, you know, people need to be shaken out of that thing. Amen. And they need to understand that you're making it about you now. Uh-oh. When I am self-centered, I am in pity. Self-pity. Beware of self-pity. If we're going to be effective ministers for God, we have to make it about others, amen, and not about self. Otherwise, you'll be easily wounded by people's opposition to you or disregard of you or whatever it might be or something they said, and you're easily offended. Why? Because you're focusing on you and not on others. God's kind of love is an unidirectional love. It flows out of the heart of God towards others. We are to love with the love of God. Amen. But sometimes people confuse the human love with the love of God. And they're just ooey-gooey, you know, what's the word? Touchy-feely kind of people. All right. There is an emotional love, a human emotional love. It's a natural affection. God gives it. Amen. There's that storge love. That's the mother's love. Amen. Towards a child. Amen. That's natural and that's good. It's nourishing, right? But we are called to something higher than just the human levels, amen, or sources of love. We are called to love with the love of the Lord. And so in order to do so, we must be filled with the love of the Lord. And once again, to be filled with the love of the Lord is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't you like those kind of tests where I answer them for you? How do we recognize God's children? Well, by the Spirit, right, that He's given us. If His Spirit's in us, then there will be the manifestation of the love of God. How many know that every gift that God gives should be also used in the love of God? Our hearts should be motivated by the love of God. If we want a gift from God, amen, it should be by the motivation of God's love in us, amen, so that we can take that and we can be a blessing to somebody else with what God has given us and not make it about ourselves, amen, and not try to get a following after ourselves or get a title. Come on. But we want Jesus to be glorified. We want Jesus to be the main attraction, amen, the center of it all. Hallelujah. It's exciting, isn't it, to be used of the Lord? Amen? But we always have to remember who to give glory to, amen, because we know it's not of us. For we have this treasure, where? In an earthen vessel, yeah. Jesus said in John 13:35, this is all Christianity 101 again, but this will all know that you are what? My disciples. If you have love for one another, that's the same word, agape. That's God's love. There's a connection between being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the love of God. When we are living a selfish life, it means we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody say amen. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And verse 19, "And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." How? By loving in deed and in truth. Even that means practical application in our lives. Amen. Seeing somebody in need, amen, and reaching out to them, helping them. Being led of the Spirit, amen, in everything you do. You cannot manufacture. You cannot create God's love. It flows from the heart of God. It flows from Him who is love. And so in order for us to be God's expression of love, we must be possessed, amen, with Him who is love. And it's not something you try to do or make happen. I'm going to be more loving today. Well, the world can do that, right? I just decide I'm going to be more loving this year. You know, well, you really cannot love effectively and authentically except by the love of God. And you can't love with the love of the Lord if you're not filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Because God is love. Pretty simple, right? But you know, sometimes, guys, we can miss the simple things even. But God wants us to just not complicate it. Get back to our first love. Get back to basics. Hallelujah. Amen. People need the Lord. Amen. And we don't have to complicate it. We don't have to blow them away with a theological exposition. Amen. We just need to tell them, listen, this is what Jesus did for me, and He can do it for you. Amen. Let me introduce you to my best friend. If a person is not possessed with the Holy Spirit, they do not belong to God. You know that. But if they belong to Jesus, the fruit of that relationship will be characterized by love. God's love. Yeah. And if you think about it, all these things come out of love. All the other fruits. It comes out of Him who is love. Amen? So, if someone belongs to Jesus, there will be love. Again, in 1 John 4:12, "No one has seen God any time if we love one another. God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us." What? "Because He has given us of His Spirit." There it is again, the connection between being filled with the love of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Matthew 25:32, how many remember this? "By all the nations will be gathered before Jesus," right? "And He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." Verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in.' Verse 36, 'I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you?'" Who are the righteous? The righteous are those who are in Christ. Only the righteous in Christ can produce this kind of fruit. Are you hearing me? There are people who try by these types of things, just by their works, to save themselves. And yet the righteous are those who are made righteous in Christ. And only in Christ can we bear the fruit that is acceptable to God. Are you hearing me? Because the fruit of the flesh is unacceptable. Verse 38, "When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison, or come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" Again, many people do good works, good deeds, and think that somehow those good deeds will save them. And yet the Bible is very clear. It is not by works of righteousness that we have done, But it's by the mercy, by the grace of God that we're saved. But when you are righteous in Christ, when you are born of His Spirit, when the Spirit of Christ is in you, then He will motivate you, amen, to reach out and to love people, even in practical ways, and that kind of fruit will remain. He will not forget your labor of love and that you have ministered, amen, to the saints. And as you minister to those you see, you're ministering to the one you don't see. You and I have been called to good works, amen? But we're not saved because of good works. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it." I know we can all probably have a testimony about that, most of us, right? So you never know. When did I see you, Lord? Oh, the homeless guy on the corner? It could have been Jesus. Because when you did it to them, amen, in the love of the Lord. I say this, guys, be led of the Spirit. If you're filled with the love of God, amen, then the love of God will motivate you, and the love of God will also guide you in wisdom. Because sometimes you don't want to be enabling somebody when they need to get a job. But those who are truly desperate, amen, need someone to reach out to them and help them. And sometimes just people need a hand out. They just have had a rough time at it. They need somebody who's going to love them authentically with the love of God. Amen. Not for selfish reasons, not to get the attention from that person to themselves, but to say, you know what, God bless you. I'm doing this because Jesus loves you. I love you with the love of the Lord. 1 John 4:20 says, If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? When we love people who we see with the love of the Lord, then we know we are abiding in him who is love. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us." This is Paul. "Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." Paul was motivated by the love of God. Amen. Because Paul was a Holy Spirit-filled man. Amen. And he knew that he must rely upon the power of God to be who he was called to be. Amen. And to be an example for others as well. 2 Corinthians 5:15, "And he died for all," Jesus, "that those who live should no longer live for themselves." To what? No longer live for themselves. Now, we've already had confirmation of this, see? That's the Holy Spirit working here. "But for him who died for them and rose again." And that word motivates, or the compels, means to be captured or overtaken. When the love of God captivates you, you're overtaken by the love of God. You're now motivated by the love of God. How many know there's an old song that says, "Give me that old time religion"? And one of the things it says in there, and I know, we don't talk about religion, right? But it says, makes me love everybody. It makes you love everybody, right? When you're filled with God, you love people. Because God loves people. God is love. And he doesn't want people to perish in their sin. And so we love people enough to pull them out of the fire if they're in the fire, amen? We love people enough to warn them when they're in error. Because we know hell is a real place, amen. And God doesn't want anybody going there. But if a person refuses to repent, they will end up there. But we, guys, it's so important that we recognize our own inability to love adequately on our own. You see, we can be deceived into thinking that I'm a loving person. Naturally, we're selfish. I know that people hate to hear that. But we're born that way. Just look at children, amen, when they're growing up. It don't take long before you realize that kid's selfish, amen? And we've all been there, right? And God doesn't want us living out of self anymore, but out of Christ. And he wants us filled with him, so we'll be motivated by him to love people with his love, amen? But it means to be overtaken by God's love, amen? But we have to understand that we are inadequate for what we are called to be and to do in ourselves. So we seek the Lord and His grace. That's why we must hunger and we must have a thirsty heart for the presence of the Lord, knowing that it's only by His ability, by His grace, amen, we can be who we're called to be. We can be an expression of His heart only by the ability He supplies us by His Spirit. We are to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the true power of the Holy Spirit is love at its root. Amen. Because God is love. It's not who we are. It's not who we are. It's about who God is. God doesn't call the equipped, right? As someone said. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have, here it is, that treasure, this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Whew. Who was it, the girl with the spirit of divination that followed Paul, right? Oh, here's the great power of God, the great man of God, the great anointed man of God. He turned around and rebuked that spirit and commanded it to come out of her. It was a demon. What was it trying to do? It was trying to puff him up and make it about Paul instead of Jesus. I mean, you know, the devil's a narcissist. And if we're living a fleshly life, we're going to be narcissists too. And only by the ability that God supplies, by the grace of God, can we overcome our own selfish inclination and deny that part of us, amen, that we might be fully motivated by God's love to live an unselfish existence, amen, to minister to others. How many have found joy in ministering to others? I see that hand over there. So, when we minister to others, there's joy in that. Hallelujah. We get to serve the Lord. It's a privilege. It's an honor to serve the King. That He has called us, the ecclesia, the called out ones, His church, His people. Amen. He has empowered us. He has anointed us. He has called us to be ambassadors, to represent His interests in this world. Amen. And to effectively love people by the love that He sheds abroad in His heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So people will know there's more to you. You're not like everybody else that's just out for number one. But you're willing to go out of your way to reach out and love somebody. That's the love of God. For the Lord Himself came to seek and to save that which is lost. For the Lord did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life for us. And now He calls us to meet Him outside the camp, bear His reproach, and bear His name, amen, to the nations, to be an expression of His heart and His will in this life, in this world. And the day will come when the Lord will reward you based upon your faithfulness. Now, we all know about Moses, right? How many have ever watched the Ten Commandments? We all know about Moses. How many know about the call of Moses? You know what Moses represents? He represents you and I. Who does Elijah, great Elijah, well, who does he represent? You and I. David, Solomon, all of them, they represent what? They're just people that God chose, amen, and anointed. And so we have to understand when Moses was called, God already knew Moses' limitations. He knew what he was capable of doing and what he wasn't capable of doing. And when God called him, he was calling him to do something that maybe in himself it was impossible, but not by God. God would provide the grace for Moses to do what he was called to do. Moses just had to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Okay? Exodus 3:11. Moses resisted the call of God, didn't he? Initially. Anybody beside myself done that? Because Moses was, again, he was focused on his own human weakness. But Moses said to God, "Who am I?" It's interesting that this is what Rick had talked about on Pastor Rick on Friday night about identity and, you know, Gideon, the call of Gideon. Now, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And again, the Lord, it wasn't like, "Oh, that's right, Moses. I didn't realize that." You ever do that? You know, we do. We sometimes we try to reason things out with God as if God doesn't know what he's doing. He's so much smarter than we are. We just need to say, okay, Lord, you know all things. You know what I'm capable of. And you know where my weaknesses are. And isn't it interesting that God will say your weaknesses are perfect, because in the areas of your weakness, I'll demonstrate my strength. I'll make you strong in the areas of your weakness so people will know it's not you, but it's me. And his second excuse was the unbelief of the people. Well, who am I? And then it's the people, Lord. They're just not going to listen to me. Who am I that they would listen to me? Anybody ever feel that way? God's calling you to witness to people by his ability. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the love of God will motivate you, and you love people and you want them to know about Jesus. Come on. Your heart will be motivated by the love of Jesus. Well, Moses was now using the infirmities of his body, his physical limitations. Sometimes people say, well, I'm old now. I guess I'll just sit back and watch TV the rest of my life. Or, you know what? If you've still got breath, God's got a plan. To say, Lord, how can I be used? I've known people in nursing homes that, you know, they can barely get around. They may be in a wheelchair, but they got the fire of God burning in them. Amen. And they're going to go out and they're going to light that place on fire for Jesus. Hallelujah. They're going to love on those people in there. Amen. And be an example. Hallelujah. Or if you're shut in, you can pray. You can intercede. Amen. You can call somebody on the phone and say, how are you doing? Hello. The love of God will motivate you if you just get over the pity party and quit worrying about what I can't do and say, well, what can God do through a weak vessel like me? That's where we need to focus, because it's not of us, but it's of him. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Okay, here we go. Moving along. Exodus 4 and verse 10. Moses pleaded with the Lord, O Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. Again, the Lord didn't know this. And I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. There's many great women and men and women of God who had a speech impediment. But as soon as they said yes to God, God healed them. Again, God knew about his infirmity. And God would never tell us to do anything that he's not willing to back up. It's by the Holy Spirit in us. God does the convicting, the convincing, and the converting of people. God does it. The Holy Spirit does the work of convicting. I know I try to do it sometimes, but he does a better job. Convincing, right? And really the ultimate is that we will be converted, but it's the work of the Spirit. He will convince us, he will convict us, and he will convert us. Our responsibility, here it is again, I'm going to finish with this, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. It's not I that people need, but Jesus who lives in me. Are you hearing that, somebody? It's not us that people need, really. God's looking for a vessel. He's looking for somebody to be available. But it's Jesus in us that people need. And we cannot present Jesus to them unless we're filled with Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is the love of God. He's the one that will do the work. You know, the Bible says that love is not rude. So we have to be very careful that we walk in the love of God and we're respectful to people who disagree with us. You're not going to win people by just being rude to them and talking down to them or, you know, rolling your eyes at them because you disagree with something they said. We need to show some respect and understand that if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we would not know what we know today. It was not because we were so spiritual. It's because we were a mess and God in his mercy saved us. Amen. And now he wants us to go and do likewise, to reach out to others with his same love. Somebody talked to us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody was willing to deny themselves to be a vessel for God. Amen. To speak into our lives. God's calling you today, every one of us that Name's the name of Christ. If you are born of His Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is in you, amen, He wants to be shed abroad in your heart. He wants you to be filled up to overflowing so the love of God oozes out of you. You know, we're called to be diffusers. You know, you ever have one of those diffusers at home? They're like the perfume diffusers. You put those sticks in there and it diffuses. Well, we're supposed to be the fragrance of Christ, amen, in this world. Well, you can't be a diffuser, amen, if you're not in the oil. You got to be in the anointing, amen. You got to be well dipped. And you can't light others up unless you are, amen. So if you're a child of God, you're called to love and serve others. I'm going to finish with this, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Each time when Paul said, "Lord, take this thing from me," the Lord said, "My grace is all you need. It's sufficient for you. My power works best in weakness." So don't think, well, I am not qualified. I'm not bright enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. You know, Moses, God didn't accept any of his excuses, did he? So now he said, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. See, it's not our infirmities, but our unbelief that hinders us in the service of God. It's not our infirmities, it's our unbelief. It's our doubt even that God can do what he said he would do in and through our lives. And you're not going to know until you step out in faith, until you take that action. Until you do like Elisha, you take up the mantle and you strike the water and say, "Where is the God of Elijah?" You do something with what he's already given you. Amen. When you begin to step out, he says, "Where I am, there my servant will be also." When you feel the prompting of God, amen, you got to get past yourself and you got to love people with the love of the Lord. And you'll find that when you step out in obedience to the Spirit of God, amen, God's going to meet you right there. You know that. And it's a joy to be in the moment with the Lord, to be his ambassador. Hallelujah. Here's another excuse of Moses. He was just plain unwilling to go. His flesh was resisting. Verse 13, Exodus 4:13, Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send anyone else. I'll just sit in the cave and you send them out, Lord." Now, this is what angered God. Because Moses was well able to do everything the Lord called him to do. So it was his unbelief. How many know that unbelief is an insult to God? We're saying, "I don't believe you." Exodus 4:14, "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, 'Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in heart.'" So what happened was, instead of Moses believing God and receiving the ability to be healed and be used of God as his spokesman, because of his unbelief, God chose Aaron to represent him as a spokesman. Do you understand? So in other words, if I don't want to be available to God, if I want to resist the call of God, God eventually will find somebody to replace you. Nobody wants that. I don't want that. You know, I mentioned this, I think, the other day, but Catherine Kuhlman, you know, tremendous woman of God. I know she was very dramatic and a little different, but aren't we all? God uses us in our differences and our different personalities. And he uses flawed vessels, by the way, right? But she said, you know, the calling that she had was actually given to a man and he refused it. But because she was so hungry and available to be used of God, God gave it to her and used her tremendous. Amen. All we need is faith in God. We just need to believe what God said. Our unwillingness will not prevent the Lord from accomplishing his plans and his purposes. Not everybody is called to pulpit ministry. Amen. But we're all called to love and to serve one another. You know, and you may be called to something that's naturally impossible for you. When Moses said, "Lord, I have a speech impediment. I have problems speaking." He was speaking the truth. The problem was, is he didn't believe that God could use him in his weakness. So don't try to use an excuses with God, because you know what? God didn't relent, did he? He didn't let Moses off the hook. He says, you're going to do what I say. How many know it's always easier just to cooperate with God? Don't be a Jonah. Don't try to run away, amen, from what God's calling you to do. Yeah, you could end up as fish bait, right? It's cold down there. Hallelujah. You know, if it's God's will for your life, then he will provide the grace for you to do it. How many here want to be used of the Lord? Show of hands. You want to be used of the Lord? Amen. Absolutely. Hallelujah. So, become a yes person now. From now on, ask the Lord, what can I do for you today, Lord? And whatever he says, start doing it. Well, I can't do. Don't be a Moses. Amen. Don't be an Isaiah. Amen. But Lord, what do you want me to do? And God will begin to give you little things to do, little steps of obedience. Amen. And as you prove to be faithful in those things, then God will begin to increase your level of authority and anointing as you've proved to be faithful in those things. Amen. God's not through with me yet either. And I have to be careful, because I have flesh to deal with every day too, just like you. But the solution is to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, so that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, and I'm now motivated by the love of God. Amen. And I take delight in doing the will of God in my life, because I'm in love with Jesus and I'm in love with people.